Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Cannabis Marketing Podcast. I'm Rob Howard, founder of Daily Story. Today, we're going to talk with a marketing executive in the cannabis industry. I'm joined by Kyle DeMarco. Kyle is the VP of Marketing at Weave. Weave is a point of sale system for cannabis businesses. Kyle leads all the marketing activity and strategy at Weave. Kyle, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Rob, thank you so much for having me.
Man, it's great to chat with you, Kyle. I mean, you and I have had a lot of exchanges over email and talked a bunch on the phone, but you know, I've been really looking forward to talking with you on this podcast. Really just to start unpacking just what it's like to be Kyle working in the cannabis business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a really fun space to work in. I mean, obviously it's a really up and coming industry still. It's not federally legalized. States are slowly converting over, getting to be the majority now. And we're still discovering different things about the industry itself and what the best way to market to these people are. So it's, you know, it's really quite a challenge on the daily to figure out what best works. You know, things like social media is heavily leveraged, email marketing is heavily leveraged. But things like paid advertising, for example, are still like an impossible territory for us. So it's a really fun process, and we get to experiment with a lot of different outlets and channels. So it really is quite a good time to kind of collaborate in that space with a bunch of other marketers and even influencers and content creators across the board, because obviously it's a really fun product to work with.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, this is, I've been in marketing a long time, and this is just the cannabis market in general is just such a interesting space because it's so red hot, but at the same time, it has just so many just obstacles and regulations and challenges that you have to deal with. I mean, how do you as a marketer kind of manage all that?
Managing it is, it's interesting because a lot of the marketing that we do, especially being, you know, one of the up and coming POS systems, is that there's a lot of one-to-one education with customers and different dispensaries and businesses that use our system. So it really comes down to not so much marketing ourselves, even though there is an aspect to that, but it's educating our customers on how to market their location specifically. So it's almost a bit of a teaching kind of role, as well as a learning and experimenting kind of role. So, and then in terms of compliance and regulations, you know, we fully take care of the metric compliance in different states. Each one has their own qualifications, and that in itself is hard to keep track of, because say I'm advertising in Ohio, you can't have any road signs in Ohio, and road signs are a huge attraction for different locations, especially for foot traffic. Whereas California, you can be pumping out billboards and putting signs on every street corner, no problem at all. So there's aspects like that that make it really difficult to pinpoint what exactly to do in different areas, but also that's part of the challenge and it's part of the fun of figuring it out.
Yeah, I you know, that surprised me. I had no idea that there were those types of restrictions on even billboards. I mean, I'm more on the digital marketing side, so I'm constantly talking with people about the challenges with digital marketing. But how do you, like, where do you learn about all the different restrictions? Is that something each state publishes that you then have to go research and follow? And how does that work?
So we have a whole team that works with the compliance side of it. I typically just brush up on my research. There's government websites and regulations that are put up there. So it's pretty public knowledge. It's all about just finding out what works and what doesn't. And a lot of the times when we're speaking with a potential customer or a new customer, they pretty much tell us what they can and can't do, because we have a set amount of marketing materials and marketing strategy that we share with our customers. And then, you know, typically they'll be like, all right, well, I can't do that here. And then we'll have to go back, assess, and figuring out a new type of marketing to educate them on and have them optimize for their customers, for their sales, whatever it may be.
Yeah. I can't imagine just the complexity with how that impacts kind of your work life.
On a day-to-day basis, it's interesting because every day is something different. But as I said, it's really the compliance team that are the star pupils of it all, because they're the ones that go off and find out everything and make sure it works, make sure the location is compliant, make sure our system integrates with metric properly. It's quite something to watch and witness.
I bet. So do you, like, when you create content, like let's say you're going to, post something on Instagram, does the that do you have like a team internally that has to review that prior to you posting it, or how does that typically work? Or is it not quite that structured?
So it's honestly not quite that structured. We do a lot of off the cuff posting, but we also do a lot of branded posting. So, you know, we post stuff from our customers, but then, you know, going off of compliance, there's some things we can post that would violate HIPAA from a medical standpoint. And then there's some things we can, where we can't even show people's faces. We can't show the inside of the locations for dispensaries, especially for locations in the Midwest. You know, there's a lot of, nuances there that you have to avoid or really capitalize on. So social media for us specifically is fun in the sense that we can, you know, post about our system all day long because we don't necessarily have to show the product itself, but you know, it's all about educating our customers on how to do it for them because their product and what they're selling is the they are selling the cannabis product. They're selling joints, they're selling eighths, they're selling edibles. They're doing all of this stuff that Facebook kind of, you know, wags the finger at. So it's interesting trying to work around it because you'll see dispensaries or influencers or brands that get completely shut down from posting one or two things, and then you'll see accounts that have millions of followers for years and years and years, and then suddenly one post triggers it and they're done and they have to start from scratch again. So it's really interesting.
I was talking with someone else on another session of our podcast about Instagram marketing, and you know, he mentioned something to me about that. If a Instagram account even gets reported by someone, that can cause the account to get flagged and taken down. So there's just like just a lot of headwind.
Absolutely. And it's the same with personal accounts too. You know, if you post something that somebody doesn't like and you have enough people that are reporting that post or your account, you're red flagged. You know, like I know people that have been red flagged so many times that if they post the most innocuous comment and Facebook doesn't like it, they'll be banned for a month. I've seen it. You know, it's awful. And then when, even as an individual, like individuals have quote unquote side hustles that they're running and they can't access that stuff. So you have to be careful. You really have to be careful. So, you know, it's funny to see who gets away with it and who doesn't, basically.
Yeah, I know. It always surprises me too. So we're talking about social. What's kind of the tools in Kyle's tool belt for working with social media? I mean, you guys mainly doing Instagram, you know, Twitter. Like, what are the channels that you're finding effective?
We're kind of revamping our social at the moment. So if you were to go check us out at @use_weave. On Instagram and Twitter, you know, you would see a bunch of outdated content, but currently, you know, people are really focusing on reels and TikTok style content, video content, and then using a lot of influencers. You know, you have a huge, huge cannabis community on Instagram who have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers. And people use everything from lifestyle to, you know, staying at home and being a stoner to like sex appeal to sell their products. And there's just so many different types of influencers in the space that seems to be the go-to, especially as a brand who may have been flagged by Facebook or Instagram and they can't actually post for themselves. So influencers are huge. Partnerships are huge. So you see a lot of dispensaries collaborating with the brands that they sell, you know, you see like Cookies collaborating with Cresco or like Flow Hub, for example, which is a different POS system collaborating with their dispensary locations to create these awesome videos. So video content's huge. Product display is huge. Product usage is huge, which is where the influencers come in. And honestly, like the people that seem to have the most success are the ones that seem to have just go out there, shoot a bunch of crap and have a bunch of fun with it. You know, that's the type of stuff that people flock to. And that applies not even to cannabis, to everything across the board. And obviously that is also the content that is the most fun to make.
So is that for you guys, is that, it sounds like you've got Instagram and Twitter is where you're at right now. What about Facebook or TikTok? Are those kind of on your radar or roadmap? Or, I mean, cause you're more of a, you guys are more of selling to other businesses, so more of a, you know, a B2B style marketing, or are you kind of just kind of hitting the gambit and trying to cover kind of whoever you can reach?
You know, as a marketing professional, and not even just the cannabis space, in any space, it's good to cover all of your bases. So have a YouTube, have a Vimeo, have a TikTok, have an Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, have all of it. And then as you upload content and work it to what people are viewing, you kind of are able to whittle it down and see which channels work best for you. And then also your skill set. What are you good at creating for? You know, are you good at filming short, clippy videos of people ripping a joint and blowing clouds? Or like, do you take really good composed photos that you throw up on Instagram and people just love them? So, you know, in my opinion, it's a you play to your strengths type of thing, but cover all your bases.
Yeah, no, that I think that's a really good piece of advice, because I think it'd be very easy to get lost in all the different social media channels. Because, I mean, you know, the takeaway that I just kind of wrote down was, you know, make sure that you have kind of a strategy going into it, a message that you're focused on.
Definitely, right?
Otherwise, you can go in a thousand different directions.
We just throw crap at the wall at that point, you know, and like hoping something sticks instead of just having a set plan. But even then, you could have the best laid plans that could all just blow up in your face within like two posts, you know? And then in terms of creating, we haven't ventured into TikTok. I know it's huge. You know, new creators can get thousands of views with their first video. I'm not entirely sure on the regulations with cannabis right now. I mean, I've seen videos off of it, and I've definitely seen Instagram Reels, which is their mimic feature from TikTok. People create for that. It's essentially the same thing. But you know, there's a lot more people on Instagram, so you know, not, no pun intended, getting lost in the weeds is a little bit easier.
I use that one all the time too.
Yeah, I love that. You know, there's a lot of cannabis related puns to use. It cracks me up.
Yeah. I think what I keep kind of coming back to is it sounds like Instagram is kind of the clear winner right now as far as who cannabis businesses tend to kind of point their marketing guns at when it comes to social media. I mean, they seem like they're getting the most bang for the buck out of Instagram, and Instagram's at least provide some somewhat clear guidance, what can be done and can't be done. And you can walk that line pretty well, it sounds like.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, other than that, I would say build up your YouTube account with videos. Even if for us, for example, we have a YouTube channel where we post simply just FAQ/explanatory videos on how to use our system. And it's something as simple as that. It's, as long as it attracts the crowd that you need. Obviously, we're creating for a B2B type of marketing. So we're advertising towards businesses. So we do a lot of email, we do a lot of text messages, we do a lot of like cold reach outs as well. And then, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I guess content that's geared more towards running a business than the actual product itself. So there's those nuances there too, where dispensaries would be creating different content than a POS system, and people who grow are creating different content from a dispensary, that type of thing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You mentioned at the beginning, that I hadn't really realized. It sounds like a lot of your marketing is also educational. Like, you're trying to educate the dispensaries on, you know, here's the best way to use the Weave point of sale system, or here's, you know, some different ways that you can put the point of sale system in your store. I mean, are you kind of providing that level of education for the dispensaries too, or?
In my opinion, you have to. Part of being a B2B marketer and, you know, providing continuous value for your customers is educating them on how to use your system. The last thing that a business owner has time for is teaching himself a whole new, you know, skill set while also trying to maintain their business, keep that bottom line running, and keep things selling and moving and keeping employees like working hard, you know, that type of thing. It's a lot to handle. And I've worked with a few franchises before, and education is 100% the way to go. Because if you know, one of the biggest complaints that we hear from people who are switching off of different POS systems is that they have zero customer support. They have zero customer service. They can't even get somebody on the phone. So Wow. We try our, it's unbelievable. It's honestly one of the biggest selling points that we've had in the last couple of years for converting people off of different systems. You know, you can't get someone on the phone, you have a problem, you don't know what to do with this type of feature, you need to talk to somebody. So at we try our hardest to provide that customer service and fill in that gap that most services seem to leave behind. So, you know, education is really, really important. And I think that customers who receive that education and then perform better because of it, they see the value in that. And it's, you know, you give them a system and you tell them the base level of how to use it. They use it, they make money, but how do they use it better? How do they optimize its potential? And that's what we really focus on from a marketing standpoint.
And I can imagine that YouTube provides a great mechanism for doing that, because not only do you get the educational content, you get to reuse the educational content, and then you get the traffic from it as well, which kind of leads me to the next kind of question is, when you're looking at like social media, and I'd put YouTube in that basket too. Like, what's your metric you're looking at for success? Is it web traffic back to your website? Is it just interactions on Instagram? Like, what's the key kind of performance indicator that you're looking at where you know, yeah, the social media kind of marketing is working for me?
Well, it's really the amount of traffic. I mean, obviously, everybody uses Google Analytics. Almost everybody does. So it's really about getting your source traffic over to your website and creating leads. Everybody wants leads. So whatever type of content creates the most traffic over to your main lead generation area, that's a successful piece of content. So we're looking at conversion rates. We're looking at daily views. We're looking at how many impressions we get on a day-to-day basis. And then we're seeing and comparing the type of content with those metrics and optimizing for the ones that are working the best. And the same thing comes into play. I mean, not many cannabis companies do paid advertising for the very reason that, you know, it's hard to post actual product content because Facebook and Instagram don't really like it. But it's the same deal. You know, you're optimizing for conversions, you're optimizing for clicks. And it's essentially the same deal with organic content and user-generated content and content creation on social media. You're optimizing your stuff for the most views possible to get those people over to your lead generation area. And, you know, that's really what you have to be looking at, unless, of course, your objectives are different. If you just want to build a massive following for branding purposes, then you're looking at followers, you're looking at growth rates, you're looking at, you know, everything that pertains to that. So it really depends.
So let's talk about text messaging and email and some of the kind of communication channels. We work with a lot of dispensaries as well, and we find that it's kind of surprising to me, but text messaging is like the premier channel. It has a tremendous amount of challenges regulatory wise and compliance wise with it. And of course our business, Daily Story, does text messaging and email marketing. But we found that, a lot of dispensaries are missing out on email marketing. And I know you do both. So like, talk me through like your approach to text messaging and maybe like kind of the way you approach email and how you use those kind of two tools as part of your marketing.
So we focus a lot on obviously education. We talked about that, but also, you know, introducing our current customers to new features that we have. So we include things like online ordering. We offer an integration with a partner for mobile payments. We offer an integration with a partner for cashless ATM/debit card transactions. So we provide all of these solutions and we utilize email marketing and text messaging to kind of inform and educate everybody on this stuff that we provide. Because yes, they have the POS system, they have the inventory system, they have the compliance, but we also have all these additional tools that they can use to increase their transaction values, increase their foot traffic, everything, make everything convenient for their customers. So, you know, we focus a lot on upselling with email marketing. We use text messaging mostly for reinforcement. And we use Daily Story. It's easy to bring everything together on that thing and track it and create automations so that we have really consistent educational drip campaigns going. You know, there's all these different objectives that you can optimize for with email marketing and text message marketing. For Weave, we are typically leading with email marketing and then reinforcing with text messaging. So if we want to get a client to upsell to our online ordering system, which really doesn't cost them that much, and it's basically like a free setup, we will hit them with a couple emails introducing it to them. We'll follow it up with an educational drip on how to use it and utilize it and the benefits they receive from it, maybe with some data, maybe some case studies from other customers that we have. We utilize case studies a lot because it's like, look at how good this company did. You can use the same thing and do just as well. And then we reinforce that messaging with social proof is huge. Like, you know, people want something that works. They want to use a system that's proven to have success for other businesses in the past. And while almost every company that's around today can provide that, you know, it's really just shoving it in front of their face in the proper format. We found email marketing to be just that format. We found text messaging to be a perfect way to redirect people to email or redirect people to our customer care team so that they can actually talk to them and like get a conversation going about it. And that's where our customer service comes in. So it's all roundabout. We even reinforce our email marketing with direct mailers. You know, we utilize traditional marketing as we think that every cannabis business should, because again, cost per click or pay-per-click advertising isn't really readily available to people in this industry. So yeah, we utilize email marketing, we utilize text message marketing. It's an ever-changing animal, but it's fun to work with.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear you mention direct mail. I would love to kind of hear what your experience is with like with direct mail. How often are you guys doing it? Like, how does that fit into your strategy?
So we provide our current customers, say they upsell to our online ordering. We provide them an entire suite of marketing materials for them to litter around their location or cannabis business dispensary. We have glass stores that sell bongs and bowls and all the types of smoking paraphernalia that you need. So we work with those types of companies too, but we send direct mailers as long tail follow-ups for our email campaign so that they're, you know, sitting on their desk. Maybe in a week or 2 weeks, they'll be cleaning out their desk and they'll find it. It'll be like, oh yeah, maybe I'll give them a call kind of thing. So it's the same type of retail marketing that you see from Macy's or CVS with their 20% off or their here's a free gift if you spend this much kind of thing. But we are literally just giving it to them. So, you know, we utilize it for that. And then we also have, as I mentioned before, in-store marketing materials that we give to them. Floor stands, table toppers, terminal stickers, everything that they can to advertise that they have these types of features at their customers' disposal.
Yeah, I think what's great about this, and what I think a lot of the listeners of this podcast will appreciate, is the level of sophistication involved in true marketing. I mean, I see a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, I've had experiences with several stores, several dispensaries in this particular case, that their view of marketing was, hey, I'm just going to create a text message and send it to all my customers every day. And that's marketing. And really, I think learning from experts such as yourself, that marketing involves, you know, all these different touch points, all these different channels, you know, a strategy and approach, whether it be social media, whether it be email marketing or text messaging or print, but there's kind of a cohesive strategy. And that's what you just laid out. I mean, you mentioned the word like the long tail marketing, like, right, you're touching those individuals multiple times. And I think print and direct mail is just such a great piece of that. So I'm glad that you are using that. I hope more companies in this space start using direct mail. I think it is an opportunity for them if they don't realize they have.
I absolutely do too. It's, you know, it's kind of a lost art in my opinion, but you know, then you look up companies that do it and there's direct marketing companies everywhere. It's still alive and booming, that industry. And it just provides you another outlet to play with. It's endless creative freedom. You can literally do and print whatever you want and whatever you want to experiment. So it's really fun medium to work with too, but it's also about, like you said, hitting as many touch points as possible. It's like, you know, what if your business owner isn't a really big email guy? What if he doesn't look at his text messages? What if he's one of those dudes who has 1400 unread text messages in his phone,
right?
You know, and you send me right. And there are people, I mean, that kind of thing gives me anxiety just to look at, but there are people out there who are like that. You know, my wife, for example, she'll have like 2000 unread emails in her Gmail and it'll send me into hyperventilating. It's just unbelievable. I don't know how people do it.
Yep.
I just don't know. So these are the people that you send letters, because they'll be like, oh, this is that thing that I use at my business. You know, there are business owners who are like that. They're absent-minded in an online space, but they're completely present in a traditional setting. So, you know, and especially, you know, age and demographics comes into play here, because while there's a lot of millennials, Gen Zers that love cannabis, they're obviously very attuned to the benefits of it. They've lived their whole life outside of the reefer madness generation and have grown up with, you know, everything being legalized. So they get it. They get the email marketing. They get the text message marketing. They like it. It's all digital. There's no waste. But then you have the boomer generation, the older people generation that use it for not just recreation, but majority use it for medical purposes. These people are the ones that are going to get those direct mailers. They're going to get those flyers. And that's what's going to work for them.
Yeah. You know, it's, I think, approachable for a lot of folks, but one of the areas I think a lot of people get kind of hung up on is the content creation. So what do you do for content creation? Because you got like traditional like written content you got to create, but you've also got the creative kind of graphics and other kind of elements. Do you outsource that? Do you have someone in house that builds all that for you? How would you structure that? Kind of, if you were...
So I definitely create all of it myself. I do all the copywriting. I do all the design for it. I would love to have an in-house team, but we at Weave, we are a very small company. Hopefully expanding pretty soon. We have very loyal customers, but you know, we operate very, very slim. And it's been nice being able to have the full capability of carrying that campaign from point A to point B, or I should say point Z. So it's always, you know, it's really, really interesting to be able to from a holistic point of view and then actually get in there and dive into the nitty gritty and create it all yourself. So that's gonna make it easy
for you to scale too, right? I mean, if you are a marketing team and you are kind of managing all yourself and then you want to start scaling it up, if you've been doing it all yourself, you have a tremendous amount of knowledge and experience around how it needs to be done that you can absolutely start painting off the right pieces.
Yes, absolutely. And like it's a well-oiled marketing team would have an email marketer. It would have, who also specializes in text messaging. You'd have a social media manager, maybe a content creator and videographer on the side who work together. So, you know, everyone thinks that marketing is just like this one time, set it and forget it animal, but it's really not. It's ever changing. You have to be making all these different adjustments all the time. And then, you know, you have to build it in a way where, like you said, it is scalable. You can't just set it, forget it, and then just, you know, hope to God that it works without ever looking at it again. That's not really the way it works. So, you know, making it hand offable, is maybe a term. I don't even know if that's a word, but it is now. Made it a word. But it is really important to, you know, be able to segment it out. Say, I can pick up the email marketing, give it to somebody else, and be like, this is how it weaves, no pun intended, into everything else. And this is the role that you need to take on, and this is how it joins up with everything else that's going on.
Yeah. Man, this has really been great. I think there's like one last piece I want to ask you about. Cause like when I think about cannabis marketing, when I talk to dispensaries about it, the way I always describe it is like, I describe it as four pillars that they have to invest in. So I always describe it as the website SEO, social marketing, email and then text messaging, obviously. Surprise, surprise that we're interested in those last two. But we haven't talked really about website and SEO stuff. Where does that kind of fit into your marketing?
Oh my gosh. Website SEO is huge. Having your own marketing website is great, but it doesn't really matter if nobody can find you. You have to have the keywords in there. You have to optimize for them, which is why I recommend everybody sets up it's called the Google Search Console. They set up a Google Ads site. They set up Google Analytics, so they can see what type of search queries and search terms they're popping up for, so that they can take those search terms and work it into their website, which is why I'm a huge proponent for running a blog, having a forum, or having some sort of vlog or Vimeo or YouTube or anything. And social media comes into play with it. Everything comes into play for SEO, which is also why before I recommended you need to build out every single social media channel that you have, simply for the fact of backlinks to your site.
Yep.
It's this huge, SEO is huge, you know, and there's never been a company that I've done work for or anything that doesn't focus on SEO. And the ones that didn't are the ones that weren't getting any customers. So for Weave, for example, we have a whole marketing website. It has everything that we offer on it. And we are currently installing a blog so that we can maintain up to date. And that is just long form content that you can stuff with keywords and educational points for your customers. And Google just absolutely loves that kind of stuff, you know? So it's really easy.
Becomes great for a newsletter too, right? You immediately have newsletter content you can send to your customers.
Absolutely. And then reverse engineering that, for example, we do case studies for email marketing, but you can take a case study and make it into a newsletter. You can make it into a blog post. You can turn it into a video blog about the case study, about the location. You know, there's ways to take content that you've created in the past and populate it on your website where you have these connections, you have all these integrations that Google just absolutely eats up when they crawl your place.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that, you know, content marketing is an SEO, I think is just so important.
They go hand in hand, in my opinion. And, you know,
they really do.
People don't want to write blogs, you know, obviously, except for people who are literally in the profession of writing blogs. But it's so invaluable to what you're doing as a business, no matter what your objective is, that it's hard to find a reason not to.
Yeah, I agree. You know, just a little anecdotal kind of story. I got a call yesterday from a prospective new customer that I'm talking to tomorrow that found us through one of our blog posts about text messaging compliance. I mean, and that was like that phone call probably made that entire blog post, however long it took to write, totally worthwhile, right? Because it
absolutely,
it works. Yeah,
it works. Even if you get one from it, that's you know, how long does it take you to write a blog post? Maybe an hour to write, another hour or 2 hours to edit, and then you can put it up live. And like, if you get one or two customers at it that you have recurring revenue from, that is proof enough that it works.
Yeah. Well, hey, Kyle, thanks. I think this is a good place to stop. I'd love it if you would like to maybe share your email contact information or Instagram, maybe so people can follow you or get connected with you or Weave.
Yeah, of course. I'm big on Instagram. You can find me at Kyle DeMarco, KyleDeMarco. And then if you want to email me, my personal email is krdemarco@gmail.com. Just, you know, I pretty much use that for everything. But thank you so much for having me. It was great discussing it. Obviously love the cannabis market and working in it. And yeah, hope to be back someday soon.
Yeah, Kyle, this was fantastic. So for everyone, for more information, you can please see our show notes or visit dailystory.com to find the podcast link. We've also included links to some of the materials that Kyle referenced. So we'll include his Instagram and email in the show notes as well. I'm Rob Howard, and thanks for listening.